This is the Technical Difficulties, and we are playing two of these people online because two of these people will be joining me are Chris Joel, Gary Brannan.
He said, "Why do you blow that bugle?" And I said, "It don't work if you suck it."
And Matt Gray.
The way the game works is the three of us have all picked an article from Wikipedia and written it down on these pieces of cards. Tom is now going to pick one of the pieces of card, and one of us will be telling the truth about what the article is, and two of us will be lying.
And today we are talking about Evangelina Psara? Evangelina Psara. Gary, we're going to start with you this time. Evangelina Psara
is a musician in the field of sonic art.
Sonic art? Is that... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just Hedgehog doing really bad Mona Lisa.
Does she perform the ring cycle?
Hey!
I'll get me coat.
Chris, Evangelina Psara.
It is a skin disorder.
Oh.
Oh.
I think we're all surprised by that. Matt.
You would be.
Evangelina Psara.
Is a Greek archer.
Let's start with that Greek archer.
Okay.
confidence. Could you tell me some more about her?
She competed in the Summer Olympics. Many years in a row, from 2000 until 2016, the last one.
Those are both Summer Olympic years.
In 2016, she was ranked eighth in the women's something else. You know, when someone says a very qualified statement about where you are ranked,
yes.
Like some brands do, we are the something most thing of the something or other thingy.
Yes.
It was the women's something or other. So it's the name of the event. But to me, it sounded like one of those things like, I'm the best in this little category. It was women's singles or whatever. I don't know how arching works.
Arching?
Yeah.
Not archery, arching.
Arching.
Just very good at
sort
just arching.
Bending a curve, yeah.
And then there was an entire paragraph about her scores and how I think that when she ranked eighth, it was like a 75 shot to reach a score of 650, whatever that means. I've never even watched any professional archery, but...
He's watched plenty of unprofessional archery. Just like people getting stabbed all over the place. It's just
outside,
awful.
Outside lane of the M1. Out the sunroom.
Oh!
Well, it's like archery jousting, but yeah. On the M1.
Motorway jousting.
Like going at 70
got,
on the
you've
motorway.
You've got two cars and two massive boxing gloves.
Yes!
So I picked an article that was about that long, thinking, oh, there'll be some meat to this. I wrote it down on the piece of paper, and then a lot of it is about her victories and a lot of scoring and what people from what countries beat her in the Olympics.
Let's talk about the sonic art then, Gary. What sort of art is being produced here? Obviously sonic, other than... with sound.
Yes, yeah. Well, some might call it music. Others probably were not. In that one of them was burping into a length of drain pipe.
All right,
with a lot of reverb and stuff around it, and also music.
Do you feel you'd be able to give an impression of what that might be like?
Bring me my drain pipe, like, handle it brought with me.
Can I just steal that?
No.
No.
Is there a
those are non-sonic art?
maybe just resonant like that.
I mean, now I have to give her royalties. PRS on this. And stuff like music that's pitched outside the range of human hearing, that kind of thing.
Ah, dog discomfort music.
Basically, yeah. So
DDM.
You've got your EDM, you've got your DDM. They're very different.
It's human discomfort, it's a dog discomfort.
Because apparently she had very, very high, she had a very wide pitch of hearing and would go to other art. There's a thing in the article saying she goes to other artists' performances, likewise at pitches outside the range of human hearing, and she critiqued them on their performance because she could hear the edits.
Now, up until that very last bit, I was with you, Gary.
Right.
But the audio engineer in here and the person who edits video in here both kind of went, you what?
Well, don't take it up with me, take it up with her.
Chris.
Yes.
A skin disorder.
A skin disorder and... for double points, a notable example of selection bias.
Go on.
Evangelina Psara. Evangelina, to do with evangelism. Originally, when described, thought to afflict only the religious community.
Well.
Selection bias, because they were the sort of people that you could go in and study and describe, whereas everybody else who was wandering around with this, well, not horrendous disease, but unpleasant disease, was going sort of uninspected, isn't the word I'm looking for, isn't receiving the appropriate attention from the medical community of the time. So it gets described as this thing that specifically affects enclosed religious communities, which is, of course, nonsense. It's a boring, normal skin disorder. But once you've described something in science, it retains the name.
Oh, Chris, that is excellent. That is the best line of utter bollocks we've ever done in this format.
A very accurate description about having utter bollocks in the religious community.
Evangelina Sara. If it turns out that this is an archer or a sonic artist, that's just an awful
God,
thing to
I hope name. It's I hope it's a sonic artist. I really do.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
And that was either a really good double bluff or accidentally giving it up. I don't know. All right, Gary, I'm going to rule you out because I don't think dog discomfort music is going to be a thing. And I think you accidentally went into a bit of knowledge that I have about finding the edits, and I don't think high frequencies would change that. So, Gary, I don't think it's you. Obviously, the correct thing for me to do here is to say, Matt, it's a dull article about an archer who's been in a few Olympics, because obviously that's a name, because obviously that's all true. But, Chris, I think it's you. Am I right?
No, it's definitely an archer. Oh, well, with all the real facts.
Is it the archer?
Yeah.
Oh. I was hoping. I was really hoping.
Can I make a point as well? You know, I'm a bit about someone that can hear the high pitch and the edits.
Yeah.
That person does exist. I know them. They are a person who does sonic art.
Really?
Yes.
Why does being able to hear the high noises change your ability to hear any edits?
Because the piece has been put together from separate parts of high-frequency noise, and because it's high-frequency noise, there's clunky edits in it all the way through. This is in the days when you were doing it with actual tape rather than on waveforms or anything.
So you just hear the joins.
Came to think, well, it's a nice, but I can hear all the edits.
If everyone else can't hear it at all, then the person who can hear it can hear the edits.
All right.
So you, sir, technically wrong twice.
Which kind of makes up for the last episode.
Matt has gone and got himself a new article. If you're wondering why Gary's eyes are suddenly bloodshot and he's teared up, that's because you missed a 5-minute giggle loop based around a toilet version of British game show Bob's Full House, which
is still not safe.
No, it's still not safe.
Bob's full bogs.
That's a better joke. That's, yeah. Oh no, it's just a series of doors. I see what it's going to be. It's going to be the third door from the left. It's...
There's a splash of water running from underneath it.
You've been wallied.
It was Russ Abbott. All you can see of the celebrities is just their shoes and their rolled down trousers.
He's not even a real Abbott.
Let's you okay, Harry? It's when they got the big board at the end. It's just three ducts of toilet cubicles, like Celebrity Squares style, and they just hold up the thing. Trouble is, of course, because it's Celebrity Squares style, there isn't actually any plumbing, and it's just kind of open to the
audience. In this episode, Gary will be replaced by...
I hope you haven't pissed yourself. These seats aren't white clean.
It's fine. It just goes down whoever's in the row below.
You've gone the same colour as Tom's T-shirt.
Come on. Oh, come on. Get a grip.
It's when they got the crankies both in the same cubicle that it all falls apart.
Keith Harrison.
carrots and half ale.
I can't go in public. You can.
Would you like a tissue?
Could I? Thank you.
But we are. No, he's gone again.
Come on, behave.
We are talking about the Green Monster. The Green Monster. Gary, I'll give you a minute to compose yourself this time. Chris, the Green Monster
is a land speed record car.
Ooh.
Yes.
Now, did it ever get the record? Or, well, I'll come back to you in a minute.
All right, then.
Land speed record car. Gary.
Yes.
And I ask this tentatively.
Yes.
The Green Monster.
It was a 19th century railway engine on the East Coast Main Line.
On the ECM. Oh, all right. And Matt, the Green Monster.
It's a brand of absinthe.
Okay. We'll start with the absinthe, then.
We'll not get to the end if we do.
What is special about the Green Monster? Because I've heard of the Green Fairy, not heard of the Green Monster.
It's much bigger.
Is it just someone's poured some absinthe into some Monster Energy drink?
Oh, that would be one hell of a cocktail and you would not sleep for
Spiritus
weeks.
Spiritus Sancti. Yeah.
It's one of those articles that's... I've forgotten the phrase they put on Wikipedia. The bit at the top that says, this looks more like a sales pitch than an article.
Oh, yes. Clearly the PR company's been involved.
It's got a load of PR saying our wormwood is the specially grown, wormiest, strongest.
Woodiest.
It occurs to me I don't know what wormwood is.
I don't either.
I think, is it a root or a bark or something?
So it sounds like it ought to be a root, doesn't it?
It has hallucinogenic properties. It's mentioned in the Bible as well. Is wormwood? There's a bit. No,
I'm just realised Gary's not making this up. It's not his article.
No, genuine. Yeah.
And lo, the Lord did take three fingers of the green, and the bush was on fire. Oh God!
It's well known because Reagan quoted it after.
What, in the Bible?
I think even in the Tea Party's most conservative dreams, Reagan is not in the Bible.
No, but he was in the film.
What, of the Bible?
Yeah, the film of the Bible.
All right. So brand of absinthe with a higher ABV and a lot of PR guff about it.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, it's a 19th century railway engine on the East Coast Main Line. Now, you okay there? What's... Oh, it's a toilet-based Bob's Full House. Just
Bob, it was called, in our little reverie just then, Bob's Full Bogs.
And not Bog's Full House, which it really should have been.
Yeah, but Bob would never not have his name in it, would he?
That's true, true.
Anyway, so yeah, it's otherwise...
Bog Outhouse.
Anyway, so the railway engine is the Stirling Single, which is in the National Railway Museum, I believe, or one of them. Yeah. It's the one that you look at. It is green, and
it would be,
but it's got a big wheel in the middle. So rather than have it's driving wheel.
That's not where you normally put wheels on. It's on the outside, legs-wise,
mate.
Do you mean like steering wheel? Because that's not how trains work.
No, I mean the big one that goes round and round with the pumpy things on it.
Oh my.
It's basically the driving wheel is a big central wheel.
Right.
It's about 11 foot.
I don't know how steam trains work.
F***ing Jesus. steam makes things go like that. It's connected to a room that goes a wheel that goes like that, right?
Right.
But to try and get more traction, because the whole thing is getting up to a higher speed, which is what you're looking for, the driving wheel was a big middle wheel of about 11 foot high.
Right,
and
okay.
It went quite fast, and it was pretty smooth, and it actually did quite well. It was one of the first big, successful, high-speed, long-distance engines.
Was it the penny farthing of trains?
Pretty much. Only it hasn't got a Victorian gent wobbling atop it.
Well, probably did, actually.
Not wobbling, though.
Oh, yeah, no, just stood resolutely, all right.
Stood resolutely,
Oh, bloody hell!
It was known as the Green Monster. It was big, it was fast, it made a lot of noise. And, you know, you got flames and smoke coming out of it.
All right. Chris, the Green Monster, the land speed record
Green car. Monster is a land speed record car built somewhere in America by a guy called Art Arfons. It was one of the first jet cars.
Sorry, that's just the Yorkshire version of Happy Days. Arfons.
It's Arfons, that.
Hey, sit on it.
Art Arfons.
What else have I told you? It's a land speed record. It was built in America by Art Arfons sometime in the early 60s. Held the record three times and was eventually beaten by somebody else.
That's fine.
And it wasn't green.
It wasn't green.
It was red and blue.
Do we know why, or is that just because of America?
Because it was red and blue, because the article said it wasn't green, it was red and blue.
This is genuinely difficult. Like
say this almost every time.
Because last time I was like, I mean, yeah, I've been getting it right. Earlier one, it was like, it should be Matt. I'm going to go with Chris on the guess. But in this case, I have genuinely no idea. Gary, I think that's just a different train that you've applied the name Green Monster to. I don't think it's Mallard, but it's something like that because you know your railway history. I think you've just gone Green Monster, so I don't think it's you. Matt, I'm tempted by that. But the thing that's convinced me, Chris, is Art Arfons, which feels like a name you wouldn't pull from somewhere.
You'd have to pull it from a very specific place.
Yes, it would have to be someone else. So, Chris, I think it's the speed record car. Am I right?
You are absolutely right. Yes. Built 1960 to 61 after he broke up, after the speed racing partnership broke up with his brother, had a J79 out of an F104 taken from a junkyard, got hold of the manuals despite the government intervening and saying, that is still classified, you can't have it. Balanced the engine not by getting spare parts, but by pulling parts out of it. Tested it by strapping it to trees in his yard, strapped it into a car, and eventually did 594 miles an hour.
Good.
Two ways God. In 1964.
Good heavens.
And I only had to faintly check the article on that one. Funnily enough.
Chris, congratulations. That's a point to you. That's 2 points to you, isn't it? For the other one as
well.
Suck
it.
You win. Like, it matters.
Yay! It doesn't matter that I win. It matters that you lost.
Well, that's where we're cutting that.